Hey, it's Myron Metcalf. I know you're used to hearing me join the show to explain what's happening in the world of college basketball or hosting every Sunday morning on ESPN Radio, or maybe even reading my words about everything Minneapolis and the Star Tribune. But you are going to be hearing different voices hosting ESPN Daily in the coming weeks, and I'm lucky enough to be one of them. I'll be with you the rest of the week, helping this podcast do what it's always done. Tell the best sports stories in audio, day in and day out. Thanks for listening. Mike Coppinger, Forbes released its list of the world's highest paid athletes this week. The top three, not surprisingly, were all soccer players. Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, and Kylian Mbappe. Number four, NBA superstar LeBron James. But number five was a guy that you recently traveled to meet up with for ESPN.com. What can you tell me about him?
Canelo Alvarez is by far not just the biggest star in boxing, but for a long time, he was on top of the pound-for-pound list, and with good reason. He's taking on all challenges. This is a guy that makes, you know, between $35 and $50 million a fight usually. And he's taking a pretty substantial pay cut to bring up fight home to Mexico, to where he's from, in Guadalajara and Jalisco. It was really cool to see where he came from. He showed me his horse ranch. He's a big, big fan of horses. He has 30 of them.
I love horses. I love riding. And I love being here. Smell. Everything. This is my home. This is my privacy. All of this is just for me and for my family.
You know, I think a lot of times fighters are painted with a broad brush as being these tough guys with no nuance, but Canelo really cares for his horses.
When you ride horses, you come to the house relaxed, ready to sleep. It's something special being in the horses because it's like a therapy.
You know, he explains why he likes each horse, you know, what goes into them, how he selects them.
That's my favorite. That's me, yeah.
Tell me about this horse.
This is I just bought like 2 years, 3 years ago. This is from Spain.
Oh, wow.
And it's very intelligent horse. He can learn everything.
Canelo is one of eight children. Obviously doesn't come from a lot of money. And now this is a guy that is rich beyond his wildest or anyone's wildest dreams. Massive dream ranch where he has his family. He said he calls it Las Reinas, or the Queens, after his wife and two daughters. He has a pretty big boxing gym that he built out a few miles away. And the big deal here is that Canelo almost always fights in Las Vegas. This is his first fight in Mexico since 2011.
Why is this fight in this moment in his hometown so significant for Canelo Alvarez?
Myron, what makes such a big deal is that Canelo is fighting in Mexico in his prime as the face of boxing, as one of the best fighters in the entire sport. When I asked Canelo why it was important, he said,
This is a special fight here in Jalisco because I start here. The people support me from the beginning is here. So this is special for me and bring this kind of event, this kind of fight to my people is just special because I'm gonna bring the experience I have in other places to my people, and that's made me feel proud.
He's fighting at Akron Stadium, which is the home of Chivas. And for those who don't know, and I didn't know before this because I'm not a soccer fan, but Chivas is the only team in Mexico that does not allow foreigners to play on its team. You have to be from Mexico to play on it. So that brings a bit of added significance to this. This is for Mexican people. This is a cultural event there. You know, Canelo's perhaps the biggest star in all of Mexico. He's an icon, and it's going to be a really rabid, crazy atmosphere. They expect to fill out that stadium between 40 and 50,000 people. And who knows if it'll happen again. You know, this could be the one shot these men will have to see their hero in a big time fight, defending his undisputed super middleweight championship.
If you are a boxing fan, you know all about Canelo Alvarez. If you're not, here's what you need to know. The 32-year-old is arguably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world and the biggest star in the sport. So today, Mike Coppinger takes us to Canelo's hometown of Guadalajara, Mexico, where this Saturday, he will be fighting on his native soil for the first time in more than a decade. and in front of thousands of his countrymen who for years have been waiting to see him perform. I'm Myron Metcalf. It's Thursday, May 4th, and this is ESPN Daily.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Mike Coppinger, I learned something this week. When you're the guest host of ESPN Daily, sometimes you get a sneak peek at some of the great stories that are coming out. And I had a chance to read your incredible piece on Canelo Alvarez a little bit earlier than everybody else. And I loved it, man. I'm a boxing fan, as you know, and I learned so much about Canelo just reading that piece. There are a lot of people who know the name Canelo, I think, in American sports, but they don't necessarily know much about his story. So where does the Canelo Alvarez story begin?
Really, the story begins when his big brother, the oldest of 8, Rigoberto Alvarez, who's a pro boxer, he's been fighting in Tijuana. He's kind of ready to give up his career. It's not going how he envisioned it. He comes home from Tijuana the way he tells the story, and it's about 7:30 at night, and little Saul Alvarez is asking for some boxing gloves and headgear, and Rigoberto brought it back from Tijuana for him in his car. He opens up the trunk, hands it to Canelo, and Canelo brings a neighborhood kid with him, and they start boxing. The way Rigoberto tells it, you know, right after the first round was over, he looked at his mother and said, "Wow, this is a diamond in the rough. Like, this kid has natural talent." After that, he's trains at the Julian Nagelino gym for about 5 years after training just with Rigoberto at home for a couple of months. And he's really on the rocket ship after that because he's starting at 13 just to fight amateur. And he's in the Junior Olympics there. He turns pro at 15, which is, I think that's really part of the Canelo story. This kid started really early and he was fighting in big events in Mexico, even at 15, even in main events. And, you know, it just seems like the legend grows each and every year.
For those who don't know, Alvarez's first name is Saul. And Canelo's actually his nickname. How did he get the nickname Canelo to begin with?
Yeah, it's a funny story. Canelo is a freckled, redheaded Mexican. So stands out pretty good. And when he was just 13 years old, his brother Rigoberto Alvarez brought Saul Alvarez to the Julian Nagelino gym in Guadalajara. The head trainer there, Don Chepo Reynoso. Well, he goes by Don Chepo now because he's older. Jose Chepo Reynoso saw this freckled, redheaded Mexican boy and called him Canelito, which is Spanish for little cinnamon. And of course, he went on to just lose the little, just like all the rappers, right? Now he's just Canelo or cinnamon. And he's really a mononym, you know? People just call him Canelo now and people know what that means. And it's a great nickname. I mean, you see so many fighters try to force these nicknames. Like, remember Roy Jones Jr. tried to call himself Captain Hook? He even showed up to a press conference in a pirate outfit and it didn't stick. You can't give yourself a nickname. It has to just flow and be organic. And for Canelo, I think it's that nickname has been everything to him.
What was it like for him growing up in Guadalajara?
Yeah, when you dive into Canelo's formative years, you really find out why he's able to outwork everybody. And Canelo learned hard work from his father and his godfather at a very young age. You know, he used to go elsewhere in Mexico about 45 minutes away and work on his godfather's ranch. And he said that's where he like would milk the cows, feed the pigs, tend to the horses. And that showed him his love for the ranch, but it also showed him a lot of hard work. And besides that, his father owned an ice cream shop. And him and Rigoberto and the other brothers would all be tasked with starting to sell popsicles at the nearby bus station. Rigoberto would sneak into boxing matches at the Coliseum where they have Lucha Libre. And soon Canelo wanted to box just like Big Brother. From what Rigoberto said, they weren't poor, but you have to imagine, you know, with eight kids, it wasn't easy. They definitely were all fighting for respect. And I think that shows why Canelo is the way he is.
What stood out about the kid, Canelito?
What Jose Reynoso, his first trainer, told me stood out to him was that every time they would teach him something, whether it was head movement or footwork, he wouldn't just work on it at home, but he would start showing off the new skills in the ring. You'd go right to it and keep working on it until everything was perfected. And if you go back and look at some of Canelo's earlier fights, his head movement was just okay. Now, his head movement is some of the best in the entire sport. We saw it on display, you know, in those fights with Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, saw it against Miguel Cotto. Some of those sequences, you know, you see over and over where Cotto's trying to hit Canelo with like 5 and 6 and 7 punches. Canelo's ducking, weaving all of them, and then delivering his own, you know, big counter shots. So he's just a kid that never stopped working. And he was able to outwork everybody, and he was able at a very young age to prove himself as a ticket seller in Mexico.
What we all know about Canelo's power, and if you don't know, go check out his fights against Caleb Plant, Sergey Kovalev, and Amir Khan, where Canelo just shows the power that's gotten him to the stage he's on now. But you have a story in your piece about when Canelo was just 17 years old and his trainer Chepo first realized what he had on his hands. What happened?
Chepo got a good glimpse pretty early. I believe it was Canelo's 13th pro fight. It was in Mexico. And Canelo was in the main event, even then. He's fighting a guy that Chepo estimated was in his 30s. And he said it was a big guy, a man with a lot of tattoos. And he said that he immediately said to himself, oh my God. And he was worried because, you know, he's been training this kid since he's 13 years old. His parents are trusting Chepo to keep Canelo safe. And of course, this is a dangerous sport. People get seriously hurt in boxing all the time. It's scary. So he said he thought about canceling the fight, but he couldn't because Canelo was in the main event and he wasn't going to do that to the local promoter. But he told the local promoter, like, if my kid's getting hurt, I'm stopping this fight right away. And he told Canelo the same thing. You know, he was really worried about this. Right away, Canelo dropped the guy in round one. What he said it was he almost took out his nose. And then he said in the opening moments of round two, I think it was 12 seconds into that round, he knocked him out. Canelo walked back to the corner and said, there's your worry. And he said after that, he never worried again.
So clearly this young kid shows incredible promise. And then he starts working his way through the ranks in Mexico. But if you're a Mexican fighter, and I don't care if you're Eric Morales, Marco Antonio Barrera, Sal Sanchez, Juan Manuel Marquez, all those guys, you're chasing one person if you're an up-and-coming fighter in Mexico. And that's Julio Cesar Chavez. What is his significance here?
Chavez is just a giant among men, and especially in Mexico. So I don't know that anybody can ever surpass him in their eyes. I think it's similar to the LeBron James, Michael Jordan argument. Like for me, Michael Jordan's always going to be the greatest. And it almost doesn't matter what LeBron James does, fair or unfair. And I think Canelo might find himself in a similar situation. Chavez was a guy that fought in Mexico almost exclusively for a long, long time. He fought in Vegas a lot too, but he is considered, you know, one of the greatest fighters of all time, regardless of country. But to me, I mean, a lot of people think that Canelo has already surpassed Chavez in terms of accomplishments. We were talking about a guy that's won titles in 4 weight classes. And that's really what sticks out to me about Canelo as far as Mexican boxers go. And Eddie Reynoso, Chepo's son and Canelo's longtime trainer, pointed this out to me when I was over there. These Mexican fighters, just like Chavez, they're usually, you know, accomplishing all of these feats at the lower weights. Featherweight, lightweight, you know, 126 and 135. Canelo is doing it not just at welterweight and junior middleweight, which is kind of unheard of for a Mexican. He did it at super middleweight, middleweight, light heavyweight. He was the guy in 3 different weight classes, 160, 168, and 175. Like, these weren't paper titles either. Like you mentioned, like, you know, Sergey Kovalev wasn't at his best, but he knocked him out cold at 175.
Canelo's not even having to move his head because Kovalev's not even committing to it.
Jared has Kovalev's hurt. Kovalev's down. Kovalev's out.
It's over. That fast. There's fifth gear. Canelo is the light heavyweight champion of the world.
He holds all four titles at 168. And for many years, Canelo's been the pound-for-pound number one fighter in all of boxing. And, you know, he lost that status after he lost to Bivol, Dimitri Bivol, last year. When I asked Canelo, you know, have you surpassed Chavez yet? He said, it's not for me to decide. But a lot of people think he has.
I think that's a great comparison with LeBron and Michael Jordan because Chavez is a legend. You've obviously mentioned him. You've got Juan Manuel Marquez, beat Manny Pacquiao, had an incredible career. Marco Antonio Barrera had some legendary fights against Eric Morales. But where does Canelo fit in that picture among the greatest Mexican fighters of all time?
I think he's really in a class of his own alongside Chavez. Maybe some people would say Chavez is number one and Canelo is number two. But I would certainly put Canelo above the rest at this point, above Juan Manuel Marquez, Marco Antonio Barrera, Eric Morales. Because while all three of those guys are excellent fighters, they were never the face of boxing. They were never the number one fighter even in Mexico. You know, they were all competing at the same time with each other. And unfortunately, we never even had a fight between Morales and Marquez, which I know is probably bothersome to me and you to this day.
Yeah.
But Canelo seems to always chase the biggest challenges, even though he has his detractors say he does it. I mean, no one wanted to fight Dimitri Bivol, but Canelo fought Arizona Lara and Austin Trout, two tricky southpaws that didn't have big names. Nobody wanted to fight those guys either. And he's really been important for boxing as a whole because, you know, Oscar De La Hoya was the biggest star in boxing for a long time, and then it was Floyd Mayweather, and now it's Canelo Alvarez. He's really carried that torch for boxing, fighting on, you know, Cinco de Mayo every year, fighting on Mexican Independence Day. You know, you have two big fights in Las Vegas pretty much every year with Canelo Alvarez.
Coming up, Canelo returns home.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, Mike, let's get back to the present day. We know Canelo has accomplished so much, and he's also a guy who loves a challenge, sometimes at his own expense, right? He decides to put on a bunch of weight and fight a guy last year that nobody wanted to fight. What happened, and how did that impact Canelo's career?
Canelo was deciding between two fighters. He was deciding between fighting Dimitri Bivol, a really tricky boxer from Russia at 175, or fighting Jermall Charlo, 160-pounder at 168 for his four titles. And a lot of people, myself included, were surprised when he picked Bivol over Charlo. It was a much, much tougher fight, even on paper then. Not that I'm saying I picked Canelo to lose. I thought Canelo would find a way and beat Bivol, and I'm sure Canelo thought that too. But he fights Dimitri Bivol, and right away it was apparent that Bivol shouldn't have been an underdog at all. He beat Canelo to the punch. He outboxed him. He stood in front of him and landed 5 and 6 punch combinations at will. Wasn't all that close of a fight. And afterward, he does sound, you know, he fights Triple G in September, finally closing out that trilogy, but it was always going to be hard to live up to the hype there. You know, the first two fights with Gennady Golovkin are two of the best fights we've seen in recent memory, especially that second fight in 2018. Both really close fights. And people want to see the third fight in 2019 or 2020, not all of these years later, now that Golovkin's 40 years old, hasn't looked his best. And Canelo didn't look his best either. He faded down the stretch, and it wasn't a very exciting fight. I think it left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And afterward, he has surgery on his left wrist. Canelo said he had to box both guys with that bad hand and said he's learned that he can't, that he's not Superman, that he can't be trying to fight through these injuries where he can't train properly. So Canelo's still only 32 years old. He's still in his prime. Some people try to say that maybe he's past his prime already. I don't think that's the case. I think Canelo's going to be back better than ever. I think this fight against John Ryder is the perfect way to show that he's back.
It's wild to me that Canelo fought Dmitry Bivol, an absolute monster at 175, and Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, also with an injured wrist. Now he's going into another fight. How healthy is he? And is there a chance that the wrist could be a factor Saturday and potentially beyond that?
He says his wrist is 100% now. I have to take him at his word. He had the surgery in October right after the fight. So he had time to rest and recover. He's had a full training camp for this fight. He should be good to go, but you know, hand injuries are tricky. I've broken my hand a couple of times and I'm not punching people for a living. So I can't imagine. I think the hands never really heals 100%. Floyd Mayweather has battled hand injuries forever and elbow injuries. And Tyson Fury has told me the same thing about his hands and elbows. So I think it's something that could linger on. But I think for this fight against John Ryder, I think Canelo will be okay. He's going to have the adrenaline of the Mexican crowd on his side. And John Ryder is certainly not Dmitry Bivol.
Listen, Canelo can do what he wants. He's the champion, and I think he deserves this moment in his hometown. But when they announced the opponent, and it was John Ryder, I'm a boxing junkie. And I was like, who? What can you tell us about John Ryder as he enters the biggest fight by far of his professional career?
Well, before we even get into John Ryder, a fighter, you and I both know when it comes to boxing, a lot of it has to do with how big you can make an event. And what's great is boxing is massive in England, just bigger than ever there right now. I think it's the number two sport after soccer. And John Ryder's English. He has a good following over there. People are going to be staying up late to watch that fight. For John Ryder, the fighter, he's actually a very underrated fighter, in my opinion. He has a fun fighting style. He comes forward. He's pretty short. He applies a lot of pressure. So he's not going to be there trying to dance and move and box around. He's going to be there for Canelo to hit. And I'm sure Canelo wants a big knockout in his homecoming. But also, Ryder earned it. Like, whether or not you think Ryder has a good chance to win, and I certainly don't think he does, he earned this opportunity. He didn't earn it by calling people out and talking trash either. He earned it by winning fights. He beat Danny Jacobs, who, older or not, still a pretty damn good fighter. And beat Danny Jacobs last year, beat Zach Parker in the fall, although Zach Parker broke his hand and retired with a hand injury. And Ryder's been grinding it out for a long time now. So I don't have an issue whatsoever, but I'm going to go with Canelo by knockout.
Listen, I'm going to buy the fight because I told you I'm a boxing junkie. But I got to be honest, man, I'm not buying it to see John Ryder. I expect Canelo to win this fight fairly easily. I just want to see the festivities and just the atmosphere around Canelo Alvarez fighting in Guadalajara, Mexico for the first time in more than 10 years. What will that be like for him? And what will that atmosphere be like?
It's going to be pandemonium. I don't think there's anything that could match up to Mexican boxing fans. And I've never been to a fight in Mexico, but I've been to some pretty big fights in Las Vegas with Mexican fighters. They're always big time events and the Mexican fans bring the energy. They're going to be out in full force. It's going to be a celebration of boxing and I think of Canelo more than anything else. And a celebration of Mexican culture. Boxing is so deeply woven into the fabric of Mexican culture at this point. I think that's what makes it so big. And it's been the weight. Canelo hasn't fought in Mexico at all since 2011. And he hasn't fought in Guadalajara since earlier in that year. And boxing fans there are starved. They're starved for Canelo. And I think he's going to deliver in a big way. Bringing a big event home after 12 years. And I think it's going to be worth the wait.
Mexican fighters are always in sort of two worlds. We saw this with Oscar De La Hoya as he was trying to sort of win fans as this both American and Mexican star. You got Canelo, who trains in San Diego, hasn't fought in Mexico in more than a decade. How do the Mexican boxing fans view him? And I'm just wondering if there's a disconnect there that he feels like this fight in his hometown might address.
I think for a time, you know, Canelo maybe wasn't viewed like some of the other Mexican fighters, because like you said, he was living and training in San Diego. But unlike Oscar De La Hoya, he is a Mexican native. You know, he didn't move to the United States until maybe 5 years ago, whereas Oscar De La Hoya is an American from East LA who is of Mexican heritage. So right off the bat, Canelo's was always viewed more favorably than Oscar De La Hoya. But, you know, certainly that you make a good point about living and training in San Diego and fighting in Las Vegas. I mean, Chavez was a guy that lived in Mexico and fought in Mexico a whole bunch. So I do think that over time, with Canelo having a long, long stay at the top and taking on the tough challenges and now bringing a fight home to the Mexican people, I think he's going to fit in just okay.
Well, let's end this story, Mike, where it all began. We just talked about what this fight means for Canelo, but what does it mean for Guadalajara, Mexico, and Mexican boxing as a whole?
I think this is everything for Mexican boxing. You know, this is a very proud city, Guadalajara. This is where Chivas plays. And this is really where Canelo dreamed of fighting. You know, he was a big Chivas fan growing up. Now he gets to come back to a football stadium filled with fans. And another thing is that Canelo said his grandmother has never attended one of his fights. He said he hopes she does, but he's not sure if she will because she's a little bit scared of it.
But I fight here with in front of my family, all my family, my grandma. I hope she, when I go to the fight, because she gets scared when I fight, but be able to fight here and in front of my people, my friends, who can go to USA and I just feel happy.
It's going to be very special for Canelo. It's going to be special for the people of Guadalajara seeing their native son. Really, it's crazy when you think about it. You know, the biggest star in an entire sport, especially a sport as global as boxing, came from Guadalajara, Mexico. He emerged from there a long time ago from that tiny little gym as a redheaded, freckled 13-year-old boy, and now he's maturing a king.
Mike Coppinger, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Myron.
I'm Myron Metcalf. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.